Thank you for joining us for this conversation today on The Sword and the Trial. Today, Tom and I have on Vodi Bakum to talk about Founders Seminary, which is a new ambitious project coming from Founders Ministry, an opportunity for us to be able to train men for pastoral ministry. It's a great conversation. Please tune in. Welcome to The Sword and the Trowel. The Sword and the Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exists for the reformation of local churches and the recovery of the gospel. I'm Graham Gundin.
And I'm Tom Askell.
And today we have in the studio with us our friend Dr. Vodi Bakum. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. All the way from Lusaka.
Well, sort of.
Well, finally.
Well, before we get into it, this episode is brought to you by the Miller's Grove Soap Company and Squirrely Joe's Coffee, which I drink regularly every day.
That's right. And we actually provide our own brand of Squirrely Joe's in the Know Your Roast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one of our most talked about items that we make available through Founders. And so you can order that through founders.org.
Well, today what we want to talk about is the newest and grandest endeavor from Founders Ministry. And Pastor Tom and Dr. Vodi are the two men leading that, and that is Founders Seminary. We just announced it at the National Conference over the past couple weeks, and it is taking shape and it is forming, and we're really excited to talk about what the Lord is doing at Founders Seminary.
Yeah, this is the latest and boldest endeavor I think we've ever undertaken, and we've done some bold things, especially over the last several years, but God just brought this together in the last 6 months in ways that we could not have anticipated. And in talking with you, and things yeah. began to foment a little bit more and come into clearer focus, it just seemed like this is the time, and God has provided all the parts for us to move forward, and so we pulled the trigger on it.
Amen.
And so here, Vodi is in Cape Coral with us looking for a place to live. He's going to move his family here in order to get this seminary going, and it bodes well for the prospect of future pastoral ministry, because that's what we're committed to. I mean, all of us here at this table, we're first and foremost in terms of calling, we're pastors. God's put that on our hearts, and we want to see pastors trained in the future. Yeah. We were all committed to that as well. So, Vodi, tell us about your process of coming to where you are now and looking for a house.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were in Lusaka for almost 10 years. Permanent residency is available after 10 years, so that would have been August. We were thinking about doing this furlough, heading back, and then sort of having a long off ramp,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps, you know, this coming December. Some things happened there in October, November, offer on the house that we had there. That really changed our timetable,
mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, when it was going to be best to leave, because it was time for us to go. We committed to 3 to 5 years. We were there for almost 10.
Yeah.
You know? And just, you know, this stage in our lives, you know, some of our kids, some of the transitions that they're making, it was time mm-hmm. to make this move. So all of that independent of this yeah. news about yeah. the seminary. And it was only after these events happened, and we made the decision to move over our timetable, that you said to me, there's some other stuff going on that I want to make you aware of. And so at that point, you know, we started to see Providence at work. And so that's how it all started from my perspective. And again, even then, you know, we had to think through and pray through, yeah. what's the Lord doing here,
right?
You know, but it became more and more obvious that this is where we need to be.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was October, maybe mid-October. When did the change in plans with the offer on the house come?
It was somewhere in October.
Yeah, because I remember we had just kind of come to terms with, okay, this God seems to be doing this. The Institute of Public Theology just had graduated our first three students,
yeah.
and we're offering bachelor's degrees, and we're looking to bachelor's to MDiv, and we thought, why not just a full seminary? Why not just do a seminary that is zeroed in on training men for pastoral ministry? And I think, like, within a week of making that decision, you contacted me and said, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
And so it looks like some things are falling into place, and you know, God could be providing for us to move to South Florida. And I remember, I'm hearing you say that, it was like, I cannot believe this, because we just made this decision. Let me tell you what we're planning. Then, man, from there, things have developed over these last few months. Pieces continue to fall into place. It's amazing.
So maybe we should talk about then, you know, we talk about IOPT, the Institute of Public Theology, and our Founders Seminary. Now, what is the relationship between then those two institutions?
Well, yeah, they will be related. The Institute of Public Theology is going to become a standalone four-year college, and it's already, we've got the legal paperwork in the works with the state to do that, and we're going to be offering now, we've limited it to 3 degrees, and so with you can get a bachelor's in public theology. You'll also be able to get a bachelor's in business that we're just beginning to start in the fall, and then the third one that we're going to hopefully start in the fall, if not, it'll be next year, which will be a bachelor's in classical Christian education, which, Graham, you know lots about, and we're going to lean heavily on you in doing that. So those will be four-year regular undergraduate degrees, and there will be ways that if you're going through the course on public theology that you can, you know, take advantage of the Founders Seminary curricula as well. But the people can come to Founders Seminary without having gone to IOPT. People can go to IOPT without ever going to Founders Seminary, but you can do both as well.
And so then IOPT is offering those 3 undergrad bachelor's degrees. What are the degrees that Founders Seminary will be offering?
It'll be an MDiv is the bread and butter, and that's a 4-year program. It's rigorous. You know, Vodi, I don't know how much you've kept up over in Africa, but a lot of the major seminaries here are cutting back their MDivs. And I mean, and even announcing it like this, you know, fewer hours, better than ever MDiv. And the things that get cut very often are the languages and some of the theological stuff.
Right.
And we're looking at it. We're looking around at the day in which we live and saying, man, guys don't need less, they need more.
Exactly.
And more of the right kind. And so we've actually bulked up what we've looked at and examined what we were doing in IOPT. And that's kind of what pushed us over the edge. No, let's do a standalone Founders Seminary, because this is going to be more than 100 hours that will be required for your instruction. It's going to be rigorous training, and it's going to be training by men who have confessional convictions, but who have blood mixed with their convictions. Yeah. You know, guys that have stood the test under trial and have not folded in the waves of opposition that have come, you know, over decades now to various gospel enterprises and gospel ministers. Okay. So that MDiv will be the primary one, but the one that you and I have talked about are most excited about.
Or exciting at least, one.
Yeah.
They're all exciting.
They're all exciting, but this one's just, again, it's something God has just done. And that the story, when the story's written, I mean, these things that fell into place over the time frame of the last several months is just amazing. We are going to be offering a Master's of Arts in Missiology and Apologetics that will be, we're working right now to firm this up, but we're working with ABWE. Alex Kochman has been on this podcast, will be one of our speakers at next year's Founders Conference. And they have talked to us about wanting to beef up their theological training for their candidates in missions that churches will send through them and use them. It's the second largest, I think, certainly second largest Baptist, might be the second largest evangelical missionary sending agency in North America. And so that program will be rigorous for missionary candidates that will go through Founders Seminary with a special track to come out with an MA that will train them in apologetics and missiology. So it's an incredible opportunity. All that will be finalized here in the next few weeks, God willing, and the details of that will be released.
So, Vodi, you are the apologetics guy, right?
that's what they tell me.
Yeah.
That's what they tell me, yeah. No, it's incredibly important for those individuals who are engaged in missiology to have, number one, a strong theology. Oftentimes, the people who have the passion to go are the ones that sort of leave that, you know, theological rigor behind. But particularly in the area of apologetics. Because ultimately, we're not just encountering different cultures. We're encountering different worldviews. We're encountering different theologies. And we need to be able to engage those on the field. And so this is incredibly exciting, unique, and I think very fitting for Founders Seminary.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's what the Bible tells us, and you can do so now with Miller's Grove soap. Miller's Grove is taking dominion over God's good earth by putting grass-fed beef tallow, milk, honey, and essential oils, along with other gifts from creation, into their luxurious soap and bath products. Miller's Grove is done right here in Cape Coral. It's by one of our elders and his wife and family. They unashamedly fear the Lord and seek to build his kingdom as they are building this business. They never use junk like harmful seed oils or synthetic detergents or fragrance oils containing phthalates or parabens. Listeners of the Sword and Trowel have an opportunity to get a special discount by using Founders at the checkout for a 10% off of your first purchase. So remember, life is short, fear God, build his kingdom, and use the good soap, which is Miller's Grove soap.
We're excited to highlight one of our newest Founders Press titles, Made to be Glorious, From Transgenderism to Transformation, by Luke Griffo. This book is designed to serve as a tool for those wishing to engage people who are given over to the sin of transgenderism with the truth, applying the gospel and its ramifications to the specific temptations, sins, and struggles of such individuals. As the destruction of transgenderism continues in our culture, it is the responsibility of the church to confront this particular sin with the only message that can bring about peace and restoration. I encourage you to pre-order this book today at press.founders.org.
One of the things that we refined over the years in thinking through what do guys need in training, you know, the Institute of Public Theology, thinking about the Lordship of Christ everywhere. You know, it's not just inside the walls of the church. But with that, if you're going to take a stand for Christ in the world, you're going to need courage, the virtue of courage, which then renders all the other virtues applicable and sustainable. You know, if you don't have courage, you can be loving, you know, you can be kind, you can be gracious, but you're going to be beaten up and fall back.
Yeah, what does C.S. Lewis, he calls courage all the other virtues at the testing point.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And so the courageous aspect, I mean, how do you teach a man to be courageous? Well, you first of all got to let him know that courage is essential. Yeah. It's not something that you can just hope will show up whenever you're in the battle. No, you need to be thinking about it now. You need to count the cost. Yeah. Jesus taught us that. And so that's going to be very inherent in the whole curriculum. In fact, the way we describe it is we want to train men to have sharp minds, you know, theology. We're not going to be second place to anybody in the rigorous training, the academic aspect of that, but also warm hearts. You know, we don't want eggheads, just guys that know a lot but are ham-fisted in how they love people and treat people. No, they've got to be like Jesus more and more in how we love. I mean, you know, goodness, if you don't have love, it doesn't matter what you know, you're nothing, Paul says. So that's crucial. But also, we want them to have steel spines so they don't bend.
Yeah.
They don't bow to any man. They don't fear the face of any man. If God enables us to carry out this vision and to see men trained like that, the church will be well served by those who go through this training.
And I hear you say this, and it just reminds me of Paul's second letter to Timothy, in that he's calling Timothy to preserve and proclaim the word, the message of the gospel, but also to endure the suffering that will follow inevitably. And he doesn't just tell him to do that. He does. But he also models it in the way that he writes the letter. And I think, you know, those two statements of yours about men with blood mixed with their convictions, and also this desire to raise up men with steel spines, these two things have to go together.
Yeah, amen. If they don't, then we will get steered and misdirected so easily. So, I mean, I'm just delighted. I mean, you know, Graham, you and I have been through a lot here, and you're serving as a pastor of the church, and you're spearheading the classical Christian school that is so integral into the ministry here in Cape Coral and Grace Baptist and Founders, and being involved with Founders as well. Mm-hmm. And Vody, you and I have gone back 20 plus years maybe.
Cooperating. A lot of battles under our belt.
A lot of interesting stories that I was reminded of at the recent Founders Conference. And then with Tom Nettles as well. You know, so Tom and you and I will be founding faculty, and you and I will be residential faculty together with Peter Sammons, who's one of the brightest young theologians that we have, especially in the area of classical theology. And
I tried to get him.
Did you?
I tried to get him a couple of years ago. We had him over to lecture at ACU, and I'm just trying to figure out, how do we get him? I met him. He was my host several years ago when I preached at Shepherd's Conference.
Uh-huh.
That's where we met.
Okay.
And I'm finding out about him and him being a 1689 guy and just brilliant guy, wonderful young man. And I was like, man, how do we get this guy? And so that was one of those providential things.
Yeah.
He comes here, and so we're finally going to be together.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you just see how God's done that time and again. And we got Scott Callahan here, Hebrew and Aramaic scholar, and will be teaching residentially as well. And there's prospects of other residential faculty, certainly Graham. We've got guys here in the church that are qualified that we believe is going to be part of that too. So there's just a lot of things that when you step back and think, oh, God was doing that 10 years ago. Mm. God was doing that 3 years ago when you were out at Masters. God was doing that when Peter came out and lectured. He was just building this team, and it's amazing.
Before any of us were aware of it.
That's right. No, completely unaware. One of the things we announced at the conference, too, I mean, obviously, anytime you start a new endeavor, you need lots of resources. You need things that you don't have. And we've praised God for the partners that have joined in with Founders over the years to help us to do the things we've been doing. But with this new venture, with this seminary, there's so many things that we need. And we need personnel. We're going to need salaries for those personnel. We're going to need students and student housing, places for them to be able to live while they're here training. All of those things are real. We need space for classes. We've been doubling up with the church and Fletcher and trying to make sure we have class space when our IOP2 courses are taught. And something that happened in the midst of this being announced is a building became available here in Cape Coral. It's unusual. There's not anything else like it. And the owners put it up for sale, and they had other offers than ours. But when our guys saw it, said we ought to make an offer on this, and they accepted our offer, even though here's what we told them. So we want this building. We actually looked at it 3 years ago and just couldn't even consider it. And said we would love to buy it. We don't have any money.
That's usually where the conversation would end.
That's right. Yeah. But we laid out to them, said, we're a ministry, you're starting a seminary. And we don't know these buyers. I've never talked to them directly. It's just been through, their real estate agents. And laid out our vision for them and said, we're going to ask people to give. And we have a God in heaven who supplies the needs of his people. And so they accepted our offer. They took our offer over the other ones. And it's a $1.5 million building. And by God's grace, since the conference, just days after the conference, we've had people say, we want to give to this, and we are well on our way.
Mm.
We are well on our way to raising enough money to buy that building. We have February 26th, I think, is the deadline they've given us. And if we go beyond that, then there's all kind of stipulations of penalties and such. So we'd like to have everything done by February 26th, or if we can't do it, we don't want to do it. So we are within $500,000 or $600,000 of being able to do this purchase of this $1.5 million building. So if Founders has been a blessing to you, if you believe in this vision, the kind of training we want to do for men, we would encourage you. We'd welcome you. We would ask you to prayerfully consider investing in the work of the gospel in the future. Send the gospel into the future, and we send missionaries around the world. Well and good, we ought to. Let's send men with sharp minds and warm hearts and steely backbones into the future as well. So if you can give, please support us by giving.
Yeah, you know, Cicero says the sinews of war is infinite gold. And, you know, we are at war and we're training soldiers, and we need the sinews to fight that war.
Yeah, absolutely.
And God provides.
And you look at what God has already provided. I mean, just the team. Man, I would sail with these guys anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I would be willing to try to take any hill with the men that God's assembling right here in Cape Coral. And it's guys that I trust with my life. And so I look at that and think, okay, Lord, you're doing something significant, and we want to do our best. We want to steward well what you've entrusted to us here with what time and energy that we have available to us.
So Founders Seminary is, it offers the Master's in Apologetics and Missiology. It offers the MDiv program. It is a 1689 confessional mm-hmm. seminary. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't think that we've said it is a residential seminary.
That's right.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it is residential. And so we're going to have students who will come here and be mentored here, you know, on site. There'll be some classes available online as well, so we're not going to give that up completely. But it's not the kind of institution that you'll be able to pass through strictly doing online work. You know, there's a lot of those, and if that's where God has you and what you want to do, that's fine. But this, we want you here for at least part of the time of your training so that you can be mentored by men in a very direct way. And Bodie, that was part and parcel of what you were doing at ACU, right?
Yeah, that mentorship program, that mentorship piece of the educational puzzle, that you can't replace it. Mm-hmm. You can't replace life on life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't replace sitting face to face with someone and pouring your life into them. And it's not just that training. It's also the evaluation.
Yeah.
You learn about individuals, not by grading their papers, but you learn about them by sharing life with them. And so it's irreplaceable, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, and it's based here with Grace Baptist Church, which, again, there are lots of wonderful churches, but God has been very kind to us here at Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral. We've got faithful elders. We've got a wonderful congregation, and that doesn't mean problem-free. I mean, just like any church that's preaching the gospel, the devil hates it, and sin still lives within the members, and the world still presses in. But God's helping us to fight those battles well and to press forward. And we want our men that we're training to be able to experience that, because not every man that God calls and would equip for ministry has had the opportunity of living in a healthy church environment. And we want them to taste that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's true for myself. Yeah. You know, praise God for all of the benefits I had growing up and going to a church. My mom made sure I was in church regularly, and then serving in churches and being in church while I was in college, serving in churches and seminary. Praise God for every one of those experiences. But the kind of church that I wanted to pastor, I never saw until I pastored it,
mm-hmm.
you know, until we were able to make the changes and the direction being set in those areas. And that took 7 to 10 years or so. And so we want men to be able to experience that, to see flesh and blood elders who are called by God, many of them in vocations that are not pastoral. So they're out working in the world, making a living, but they're serving as shepherds in the church, seeing faithful deacons, seeing faithful church members. You know, what does church membership look like? I don't know how many times we talk to people who have never been a member of a church, though they've been very faithfully involved in church life. But membership is just like a foreign idea, and some even argue, well, it's not biblical. Well, we think it is biblical, and we were prepared to argue and show you where we think it's biblical. So we just want to provide that context, too, and Grace Baptist Church has been so kind. The relationship with Founders is just incredible. And there will be a lot of advantages for guys being here on the ground.
Yeah, you know, in classical education, we talk about the liberal arts, and the way we want our students to master these liberal arts. And the way that you master any art, and I think you can even say this about pastoral ministry if you say that it's an art, you know, you have to know the theory. You have to know the theory of the art. And that's a lot of what you get in seminary. You get the theological training. You get a lot of the application and how to apply that theological training, biblical exegetical training. But it can't just be theory. Mm-hmm. There's also the imitation piece. You have to see other practitioners of the art and how they practice it and seek to imitate what they do. And if you can be a member of a good local church and see the way in which pastoral ministry takes place, then you have a pattern that you can pattern your own ministry after, that you can imitate. But it's got to be more than just theory and imitation. There also you have to practice it. Yeah. You actually have to practice it. And that's where a really good pastoral internship it comes into play. And we have that at Grace Baptist Church, but you know, there are a lot of other good churches that do that. You don't want a surgeon coming in to operate upon you if they've only been to medical school and they've not done their residency, right? You need guys who have practiced under experienced hands, under experienced eyes. And so those three pieces, I think, really are vital. But those three pieces are all pieces that are present here at Founders Seminary.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know, Vody, if you had this experience, but, man, I went to school with a lot of guys, and even guys now who I talk to who are young, they say that they want to go to seminary and they want to get a PhD so that they can train pastors.
Right.
So train them what? Train them to do what?
Exactly.
How to go to seminary.
Exactly.
And we want practitioners. And God's given us a lot of experience. I mean, that's just wonderful. And there's no substitute for that. I think of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I do everything right, but to the degree that I follow Christ, follow me. And we want to be able to say that to men and give them hands-on exposure to real-life ministry in a local church.
Are you a Christian struggling to find companies that align with your values and beliefs? Squirrely Joe's has you covered for all of your coffee needs. All of their coffee is hand-selected and roasted fresh every day by a family of fellow believers. Try them out and you'll savor exceptional coffee while knowing that your investment supports a company committed to following God's teachings and upholding truth and righteousness, ensuring your hard-earned money contributes to the growth of God's kingdom. Stop giving your hard-earned dollars to pagans who support evil. We have a fantastic offer for our listeners. The first bag of coffee is free. All you have to do is cover the shipping. Head over to squirrelyjoes.com/founders to claim your free bag of coffee today.
Last fall, Founders relaunched the online Founders Study Center. This is a place where pastors and laymen alike can access wonderful courses on Bible education, church practice, theology, subjects like political theology, all very inexpensively. You can use these in small groups or for your own private devotional study. I encourage you to go to study.founders.org and check it out.
And I think it's important too, when the Lord starts a new thing like this, we're not saying that everything that's gone before us has been wrong, or that other schools out there are all wrong. But what happens when you start something like this is you have an opportunity to breathe life, breathe new life into the practice, right? To bring fresh ideas. When it comes to the way seminaries are run, have been run, and have operated, it's kind of like that idea of turning a big ship. It's really difficult, you know, to be nimble and to sort of put your finger on the pulse of where seminary training needs to go today. But starting a new school like this gives us an opportunity to do that without all the opposition that would come trying to be flexible somewhere else, and also to have influence by doing that.
You know, that's a great point. And we've got great relationships with other seminaries. I've been so thankful to the Lord for that. Even when we started IOPT 4 years ago, within 48 hours, I had been contacted by two different seminaries saying, hey, you know, we want to partner with you. And if you want to use us and grant degrees or accreditation, I mean, it's just wonderful fraternal relationships. And so we have those relationships with several seminaries, and they have coached us on here's the things you need to take a note of and be aware of. We don't see this as competition. You know, we don't see this as competition. We see this as an opportunity to do some things, just as you've said, to shore up some areas that in our orbit we recognize, we want to do better than what we've done, and this is a way God's helping us to address some of those things while partnering with others. In fact, one of the things that Peter Sammons has been doing is establishing agreements with other institutions. I think we've got them with two or three already, and there's at least that many more that are willing to say, as they look over our catalog, one of the more prestigious of those institutions says, man, this is really ambitious, you know, what you're doing. Mm. And so praise God, we want it to be ambitious to receive students from our institution that might transfer to theirs, and also to let their students come into our institution as we get up and going. And that kind of fraternal relationship we, by God's grace, will maintain, because we're in a big war and we need every available gun pointing in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And we do not see ourselves in competition with the other really good seminaries that are out there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, just to illustrate that, you know, a lot of our faculty, our adjunct faculty teaching at IOPT currently, and that will likely teach at Founders Seminary.
That's
you
right.
teach at some of these other seminaries.
I do too.
And and you do too. There's more need for good pastors in Christ's church than good seminaries can currently train.
Yes.
So Founders Seminary, I think, is going to meet some of that need in providing more pastors to Christ's church.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so we're grateful for whatever niche that we can fill. It just seems like God has done this. This was not on our radar even 6 months ago. I mean, it was not on our radar. We had IOPT, and we're trying to build it out, and are going to continue to build it out. But in a matter of months, and that phone call with you, you know, was just a matter of days from saying, okay, this is what God's doing. We're convinced of this. We're going to go for it. Bodie calls, hey, guess what? And then to see the way God's put the parts together, it's exciting and bodes well for the future.
Mm-hmm. So for a student who hears this and says, yeah, that's something that I'm interested in. I want to be a part of that. You know, what do they do? How can they reach out to us, and how do they start the application process?
Yeah, well, we have a website that is newly developed, and it'll be built out more. We have, I think, some of our catalog on there, maybe not all of it yet, but it's foundersseminary.org. So foundersseminary.org. And if you go there, you can see here are the nuts and bolts of what we have planned and what we're intending to offer beginning in the fall of 2025. So certainly you can do that. You can call the founder's office and be put in touch with somebody who can maybe walk you through some ways of getting more information online. There's an application form on there. There's a place you can sign up to get newsletters as well. So just if you go to foundersseminary.org, that's the starting point. That would be the best place to go. And certainly call the office here if we can help you beyond that. But we would love to hear from students, love to hear from pastors, from those that are interested in supporting the seminary or wanting to know more about this or cooperating with us. Again, we've had some institutions reach out to us that have been so encouraging, who have offered a helping hand and have wanted to link up where we can in cooperative efforts. And man, we're happy to do that as well.
You know, thinking about, okay, students looking to sign up, start the application, what, you know, Vody, what kind of students are you looking for?
I was thinking about the Marine Corps commercials, looking for a few good men. You know? And it is that sense here. The idea here is not trying to cast a wide net and just bring in, you know, any and everybody who's ever had any sort of thought or interest, but we want men who are called of God to love and serve his church, to give their lives to the bride of Christ. Men who already are courageous, but want to be encouraged in being courageous. Men with sharp minds who want to be challenged. And, you know, that's who we're looking for. Men who are ambitious in this regard, right? And men who just who love the church and want to serve. That's what we're looking for.
You know, the love of the church aspect is so crucial. I've talked to a couple of guys since we made the announcement. One you know, real serious minded man, and he was saying, man, Founders Seminary, it just seems like it's just exactly what I need. And so as I got to talk, he said, what do I need to do? And so I said, well, where are you? You know, tell me about your church. He said, well, I move around a lot. I don't really go to church. And so, but I listen online to a lot of preachers, you know. And I said, well, you're not for us. This isn't for you. And well, why not? So because you need to be commended by men who know you. You know, you need to have either healthy elders that know how to recognize qualifications and giftings and can commend you, or a church that is willing to say, yeah, we believe that this man has prospect for usefulness in gospel ministry. And this one guy was talking to me, he said, well, how long will that take? 6 months? I said, I don't know. It's going to take however long it takes for them to know you and you to know them. And again, he seems like a really serious-minded guy, but just hasn't been taught about the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the church is going to be integral. We're not interested. Had one of the other conversations I had was a guy that says, well, I really want to learn more Bible. Can I just sign up for some courses at Founders Seminary? I said, no. And he said, well, why not? I said, well, there's 100 seminaries in America that let you do that, and that's fine. They can teach you a lot of good stuff. But we're committed to training men who have good promise for pastoral ministry usefulness. That's our goal. Now, there may be some little variations, but that's going to be the sweet spot of what we're looking for. And
Second Timothy 2:2, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, faithful men who will be able to train others.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's right. You know, and this guy said, well, how can I what if I just want to learn more Bible? I said, get more involved in your church.
Yeah.
You know, just submit yourself to the ministry of God's word in your church.
Yeah. And briefly, a little plug there concerning the Founders Study Center. It's a study center that Founders Ministries has. You can go online, you can sign up for it, and you can take a lot of the courses that IOPT offers. It's kind of in a slimmed down fashion. You can study Bible courses and things like that. They're continually adding more courses to the Founders Study Center, so go check that out as well.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I should have mentioned that to these two brothers. I just wasn't quick enough on my feet to remember that. But yeah, the Founders Online Study Center is outstanding. It's excellent. I know a couple of churches that are actually taking one of those courses. One's going to do two courses and taking a group of their people through it. And so it's like a discipleship class, 10 weeks. It's self-contained. All the information you need is online. The courses are very inexpensive. I think they're $25, you know, for you to download and get access to everything that's involved with that. So yeah, go to the Founders Study Center. You can get to it through the main Founders website.
And you have a course on there on ecclesiology. And I think you have a course on there on apologetics as well. And we have more that we're always...
Yeah, we actually did one on political theology that Ben Dunson, who's one of the... would be a guest professor in Founders Seminary. We're using his courses there. And we released it. We were trying to get it out in October and we had technical difficulties. So we released it 1 week before the national election and had over 300 downloads of that course. And so I think, Vody, you said it well. We're responsible for the election.
Blame us.
That's right. Yeah. We want to be useful to churches far broader than what we can be just in the seminary context, and what we do in the seminary context will provide opportunity for that to be multiplied beyond it.
There's this rift in evangelicalism where we think that either we're going to be about the work of the Great Commission, making disciples, planting churches among the nations and those who haven't yet heard, or we're going to tend to our own house, clean up our own nation, rule ourselves and our families well, build businesses, engage in commerce, and do all of that for the glory of God, and leave it to Satan to take these two things that are both biblical and set them at odds against each other.
When we look at the Bible's grand narrative, from the creation mandate in Genesis to the Great Commission in Matthew, what we're seeing is not two competing visions for faithfulness, but one comprehensive picture of God's call and design for his faithful people throughout the ages.
Those two mandates are not in competition with each other. They don't counteract each other, but rather they work hand in hand with each other. And as people made in God's image who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this ongoing responsibility to make the true living God known. This is God's world. He created it for himself. He desires to receive the glory and honor that he is due throughout every corner of creation. And we who know him through faith in Jesus, we have a tremendous opportunity in front of us to take his law, to take his gospel, and to make him known throughout the very ends of the earth. So come and join us January 22nd through 24th, 2026, as we focus on making disciples, God's mandate from the home to the ends of the earth.
So when you think about the student that you would like to see matriculate into the school, but then, you know, I think about this being involved, the classical school at our church, you know, what's the avatar of the student that you graduate? What do you want to see in the student that, okay, he's got these qualifications that you want to see as he comes in, but then the growth and development and then who he is when he comes out. Mm-hmm. What's ideal for you guys thinking about that?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I think about students from all walks of life who, again, have a passion for loving and serving the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think about students who are headed out to do things in places that we, you know, can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But they have that passion for serving the bride of Christ and a boldness,
mm-hmm.
And fully equipped and ready to be used of God, no matter the circumstance, no matter the place, no matter the opportunity. For me, that's the picture.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think a man who realizes that what he will get here in the four-year course is a preface to everything else that he's going to need to get the rest of his life. So he'll be given tools for learning, tools for growth, recognizing how to observe and see things going on that need attention in his own life, in his family, and in the church, who has an understanding of what a church ought to be, what a church can be, and recognizing that there's no one cookie cutter approach to church life.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that helped me tremendously was, I don't know when it was, 20 plus, maybe longer than that now, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, going to Lusaka, where Conrad and Bewe at Kabwata Baptist Church, worshiping with them, and then later that year going to Cluj, Romania, both 1689 churches.
Yeah.
And yet externally could not be more different.
Yeah.
In approach to worship, approach to spirituality, but in terms of their core commitments, you can't drive a sheet of paper between them.
Right.
And that was helpful for me to recognize, okay, yeah, there's something very contextual to what authentic Christianity, church life will be and how it manifests itself, how it expresses itself. But there is something essential that cannot be substituted for from culture to culture or setting to setting.
Mm.
And so, man, I want our guys to recognize that, to focus on the essentials and to be sensitive to the surroundings where God puts you so that you're not just trying to export what you've seen over here to your setting.
Right. Well,
and you know, that takes wisdom and it takes maturity. And I think that's one of the strengths that I see in this program at Founders Seminary, especially with the mentorship program. You know, there's a lot of guys that come into and go out of seminary who are very bright and they know their doctrine well, and praise God for that. And they've got a lot of passion and they've got a lot of conviction. And they go in and they destroy churches because they don't have maturity and they don't have wisdom. And they perhaps don't have the character that they thought that they had or that other people thought they had because they were blinded by their knowledge and their passion.
And they don't want the bride.
Yeah, and when you can be a student like that and rub shoulders with men who do have wisdom and do have some maturity and have some battle scars and can help them understand, okay, yes, I'm glad you absolutely must know these things and you have to have this kind of passion and conviction, but this is also what you need. I think that's going to be huge, not only for the students graduating, but then for the churches in the context that they're going to serve.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. A friend that I haven't heard from in many, many years, who I was in seminary with, a PhD program at Southwestern, contacted me via email through our church website just a couple of days ago. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was still here and this to get to me. And he sent me a picture from a class of theological German that we took there at Southwestern under Robert Sloan, who's now the president of Houston Christian University, but who left Southwestern to go to Baylor, became president of Baylor University for a while. And there's maybe a dozen, 15 of us in this picture. And I was just looking at it with my wife. And, you know, I mean, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's really quite sad. One of the men quit going to church during his PhD, seminars because he said, I'm getting more Bible, you know, in my classes than I get at church. Another went into an immoral lifestyle. You know, I've got the picture up on my computer screen right now. And the friend that sent it to me is a faithful pastor in Arkansas today. And I don't know where a lot of the rest of them are, but I can tell you, you know, there's a couple other real faithful men in there too, but there's some that I know, they didn't last.
Yeah.
They didn't last. Knowing that, what can we do? Well, one thing you do is you don't just throw the net wide and say, anybody wants to go to seminary, come on down. You know, you want to have a church involved and say, no, we can affirm this guy has promise. But then we want to do the best we can to take advantage of the time we have with them, to try to give them tools so that if God has indeed called them and they go to some hard place, that they're going to dig in. They're not going to give up.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. Mm.
So Founders Seminary, founderseminary.org. You can get more information. Pray for us. What a wonderful, opportune time to be launching this, and lots of moving parts, lots of challenges. We need wisdom. We need resources beyond ourselves. Vody needs a house. There's just a lot of things practically as well. If you'd like to know ways that you can help, please contact us. And if we can help you, if we can maybe give you more information, or if you've got some men, or if you are a man that you think, man, this could be something that could equip me for pastoral ministry, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We would love to connect with you, serve you any way that we can. We're always grateful to be able to do what we can through Founders Ministries to equip churches and church leaders for the calling that God has placed on your lives. So thanks for joining us today on this episode of The Sword and Trowel.